Well, if you've been to Indonesia, you've probably picked up a few phrases, maybe terima kasih, which thank you. Selamat pagi, good morning. In 2008, then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd singled out Indonesian as one of four key Asian languages which needed greater attention by our schools and universities. But 4 years on, the number of us learning Indonesian is in rapid decline. David Hill is a professor of Southeast Asian Studies at Perth's Murdoch University, and he's behind a new report into the state of Indonesian teaching in our unis. David, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
David, Bahasa, it's not actually a tough language to learn, but it's not very popular. What are your key findings?
Well, look, the important thing is that Indonesian is absolutely vital to Australia's future. We have an expanding trade relationship with Indonesia, particularly in services, for a whole range of strategic reasons, as well as for reasons of personal satisfaction. Indonesian's a very important language. Unfortunately, however, in our schools, it's of declining interest to students, and at our universities nationally, over the decade from 2001 to 2010, enrolments in Indonesian actually plummeted by 40%. So the image of Indonesia over the last 10 or 15 years has been rather negative in the eyes of many Australians, and I think that's been an important factor in turning people away from the language.
Okay, so it's really what our sense of Indonesia and Indonesians are that has turned people off studying the language. You're saying it's that simple?
I think these issues are never that simple. There's a general decline in interest in learning languages in Australian universities and schools, but certainly Indonesia has got pretty bad press in the last 10 or 15 years.
Though there is a period in there where our political relationships with Indonesia have never been stronger, and Australians responded in force after the tsunami in 2004. I mean, there has been a lot of goodwill at the highest levels in the two countries in that time.
Absolutely, yes. The government-to-government level is actually very, very healthy. There's a strong relationship, and Indonesia's also donated very generously to support Australia after the floods in Brisbane and the fires in Victoria. So, you know, there is substance to the relationship, but unfortunately we need to put a lot more effort into promoting and encouraging young Australians, particularly to learn Indonesian and to recognise that their careers and their jobs in the future are very likely to be related to the economic expansion in Southeast Asia particularly.
I think to get people to understand that, we should perhaps go to the stats, because I read an incredible figure that there were more Year 12 students studying Indonesia in 1972 than there were in 2009, which seems unbelievable. But what sort of numbers are we talking about actually studying Indonesian in our schools and in our universities at the moment?
Well, Indonesian is still one of the major languages in our school, so it's still one of the top three languages, but students are dropping out at a rate of about 10,000 a year. In our universities, it's studied by a very small percentage of students. In fact, it's less than 0.5% of the total number of university students would do any Indonesian language as part of their studies. Round figures, we only have about roughly 1,000 Australian students at university studying Indonesian language. Now, given that we need Indonesian in business, we need it in government, we need it across a whole range of our engagement with Indonesia, then that's just not sufficient. We have, for example, young Australians who are working as professional soccer players in the Indonesian Professional League. We've got Australians who are working in business, in banking, in mining, in graduates who work in the music industry, in media. So there's a lot of demand for Indonesian language skills. That message is just not getting out into the schools and universities effectively.
It's 24 minutes to nine on Breakfast. We're speaking with Professor David Hill from Perth's Murdoch University. He's just finished a new report into the state of Indonesian teaching in our universities and the number of students at our schools and universities learning the Indonesian language of Bahasa is in rapid decline. David, you just mentioned there a whole lot of good reasons why more of us should be wanting to learn Indonesian, not fewer of us. You know, we need it in business, we need it in sport. It's a fast-growing economy in our region with plenty of opportunities, you'd think, opening up. So what's going wrong? Are we just not putting enough importance on the learning of all languages in our schools? And that really needs to be a message that's put out from our political leaders, our business leaders, and our school leaders, that language is a key to a good, solid career future.
Absolutely. And in this regard, we fall behind many of our comparator countries in the OECD or in Asia.
In Europe, I noticed when I was there, kids routinely know at least three languages.
Absolutely, absolutely. We would be a minority in the world that is monolingual. The vast majority of Australians speak only one language, are comfortable only in one language, and that's in many ways, we're a bit of a dinosaur. Europe, Asia, it's very, very common for kids to grow up speaking two or three languages very comfortably. Intellectually, it's not a very difficult thing if that's the expectation of the community. It's just that in Australia, we hold on to this outdated view that everybody is learning English and therefore we don't need to put the effort in.
Yeah.
In fact, we do.
We need to look at perhaps solutions to this. In 2008, Kevin Rudd was Prime Minister at the time. He increased funding so that for Asian language courses so more of us could learn it. In last year's budget, that funding was not extended. The minister at the time said it wasn't working. The program wasn't working. Was it working? Your figures suggest that that's right. It didn't do the job.
Look, the program was a fabulous program as a concept, and it just needed much greater government commitment and support to invest money over a three-year period in the hope of making major societal change in attitude to language learning was I think, just a little naive. To create the change in attitudes needed at least 10 to 15 years of support and funding. Now, the targets that were set for that program were for 12% of students graduating from year 12 around the country to have a decent facility in an Asian language, of which Indonesian was one. And that target was to be reached by 2020. Now, why the funds were then stopped last year is a question which needs to be answered, I think, much more thoroughly from government.
David, we've got to go. We're out of time, but obviously, you know, speaking foreign languages is a key to one of the keys to the productivity issue the country is facing at the moment. Just briefly, what's your number one and two recommendations for how to address this?
Look, the first thing we have to do is to get government and opposition to make a solid commitment to backing the teaching of Indonesian right through to the year 2020. It's been declared a nationally strategic language. It was declared in 2006, but there was no strategic funding associated with that declaration of Indonesian as a national strategic language. That funding must now flow. The government must get behind it and make a decent commitment through to 2020.
David Hill, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
David Hill is a professor of Southeast Asian Studies at Perth's Murdoch University, author of a new report into the state of Indonesian in our universities. That was released yesterday. He had invited the former Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd to the launch, but at lunchtime yesterday, as we all know, Kevin Rudd was otherwise engaged.